connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the
computer today.
Computer.
NetSurfer Pro.
Hey, welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your guide, Matt, and with me is, as I point to my side, you can't see it though, but I'm pointing.
Galen, and you can't see it, but I'm wearing a shirt that says I'm with Stupid, and it has an arrow pointing to the right, but Matt is comedically to my left.
Yeah, he's pointing at our ghost member.
Yeah, we have kind of, so you know how we had a guest on that one time? Well, when we don't have a guest, we actually just have a ghost, because they start with the same letter and end with roughly the same letters.
Yeah, we sometimes have a ghast as well.
And speaking of ghast, I am rather aghast at 2021 thus far. I really don't want to break the sort of implicit no bummers of this podcast, but I'm very tired.
Yeah.
And not just physically, not just because I've been awake for 14 hours.
I mean, I just woke up and I'm also very tired, not just physically.
Yep.
So you know how it'd be.
Sure are some very non-specific reasons we are tired today.
To, to kind of help get our mind off things, we are going to take a trip back in time, back to a time where Adobe Flash was still a thing. Because
indeed,
this is our next episode of Flash Month.
Yes, and this is my specialty. Today is my specialty. Because we're going all the way back, not even to Newgrounds. We're going to one of the obscure websites.
Uh-oh. How obscure?
On a scale of Newgrounds to TimeCube, I'd give it a solid... I think I would give it a solid 4chan.
Okay.
Are
we talking like 2000s or 2010s 4chan? Because there's a big difference in obscurity.
Probably 2010s 4chan.
Okay, sure.
But today we are talking about stick-based Flash animation. Asterisk. There will be an exception, but we'll get to that when we get to that. And this is sort of my nostalgia when it comes to Flash, and it sucks. the specific website I'm mostly talking about is called stickpage.com, which was a website that was entirely Flash games that were stickmen in the stickmen genre, which you might ask if you don't have the context of Flash. Stickmen is its own genre. That sounds more like a stylistic choice. No, there were the stickmen sort of renaissance, I guess is what I would call it, of Flash animation and video games was kind of born out of necessity, I would say, in that stickmen are very easy to animate.
Yeah,
animation in and of itself is difficult, but like stickmen comparatively are very, very easy to understand and to, like, you know, pose and do whatever you want with. And when you want to create something, but have comparatively little skill, it's very easy to just use stickmen as your whole motif.
Right. They're not just easy to animate, but they're also very easy to rig. Meaning, like, when you rig an animation, it's like when you have joints and such predetermined so that you can kind of manipulate those specifically. And with stickmen, it's just, you know, you have a joint for the shoulder, maybe a joint for the elbow, joint for the legs and knees. Like, it's literally just rotating lines around each other. And that all, it skips the early part of, like, how do you make something animated to look good? And it doesn't quite have the rules of animation, the whatever it's called, like things like squash and stretch or anticipation. Some of those can be
There's a lot of, like, tweening when it comes to that kind of animation.
Some of those...
just sliding things around.
Right, yeah. Some of those can be kind of hacked together. Like, anticipation can technically be done by just extending keyframes. But the big thing is that it lets people do more complex animation quickly and easily. Which is sort of very apparent when you get into the common, like... types of animations you would see with stick men.
Yes. So I think we should probably start off with a classic that everybody knows. This is something that you could talk to your grandmother about, and she would definitely know this game that I'm about to talk about. I know that it was a big part of my childhood, and certainly was a big part of Matt's childhood. So let's just get right into it. Kill Crazy Jay. So, Kill Crazy Jay is a Flash game with air quotes around the word game. In that, it's just kind of a little menu that shows a stick man who is sort of hung up. And then it's, you know, you click one of eight options or something like that. And it's all like, with a spear... you know, with a gun, with a baseball, whatever, and you click one of the options. So, like, you click baseball, and there's a little animation that plays out where Crazy Jay is given a baseball bat, and then is, you know, a baseball machine is placed in front of him, and it fires so fast that it, like, you know, tears off his head or whatever. It's... The thing is that, obviously, it's a joke that nobody has actually heard of this, but I think it's a really good example of, like, the early, early animations done with stick figures, in that it's bad, it's violent, and it's just sort of there.
Yeah. You know, I do want to mention that the very first Flash game was a Stickman game. It was called Bowman, and it's just a guy with a bow.
Oh, more my of a tech God, demo I remember than anything. That game.
Yeah, it's more of a tech demo than anything, but it's the first Flash game. On Flashpoint, it is under First Past the Post, which is just their collection of the first game made in each technology they have.
That is a really good... that is a really good joke. And also really interesting. I never knew that it was, like, the first Flash game.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of history. Flash is made for stickmen.
Crazy Jay, for a little bit of context as well, was the quote-unquote mascot of Stick Page. It's a stickman with, like, a headband, you know, ninja-y headband. And a lot of stick animations weren't specifically, like, violent in the gory sense, but a lot of stick animations, I would even argue that if you think of stick animations, mostly what you think of is, like, just two stick men or more stick men fighting, just doing little kung fu, pow, pow, pow.
Yeah, I think part of that is because it's easy to animate, so you can do the more complex choreography, especially with fight scenes. You know, it's pretty hard to make, like, a cool fight scene or an interesting fight scene, but by having the stickmen so easy to make, it lets you plan out the moves a bit better. Not to mention that it's easier to follow stickmen at times, because it's pretty much just two shapes... with very basic shapes. You can have them separate colors, which most of them did. And then, you can just, like, you can see the limbs move. You can see them do, like, flips and cartwheels and stuff. It is a bit easier to follow than, like, a sprite battle might be.
Yeah. It's... I don't want my sort of jokey downplaying tone to... you know, undermine the actual quality that went into no small amount of these animations, where it's very clear that in the same way that obviously it takes a lot less effort to do it, it's also very clear that like a lot of these animations are based upon just a really interesting idea done because somebody had the easiest tools available to do so. And I think that's like, I don't want it to be taken as, when I say you need no skill to do Flash, as a bad thing. That's right. A very good thing that anybody could have just opened up Flash on their computer and doodled something and called it a day.
Right. And similarly, Flipnote, which was on the DSi, had a lot of stick fights as well because it was, again, easy to draw and animate.
Yeah.
So, speaking of just, like, stick fights, I want to talk about one that is pretty interesting, which is animator versus animation.
Yes.
It's sort of a fight. It is, but it's, like, it's not between two people. It's very meta, because the idea is that it's, you know, an animator drawing a stick man, and then the stick man fights against the animator.
Yeah, it's very early, early experimentation with Flash. It's like step three. Like, your first step is to make something really crude. Your second step is to make something, you know, cool and action-y and fighty and whatever. And then step three is, okay, what can I do that's interesting with these tools? Created by Alex Hirsch, a name that I basically only know because...
Wait, really? The Alex same Hirsch? Alex Hirsch?
Wait, hang on. I think that I might be getting... Alex Hirsch is the creator of, like, Gravity Falls,
yes.
Right? Right, so I'm just going to definitely not live Google something. So, Alan Becker... is the creator.
Okay.
Alex Hirsch is the creator of Gravity Falls.
Yeah,
started actually as a Stickman fighting series.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you would look at Bill Cipher and be like, oh yeah, I can see that. It's a triangle, yeah, exactly. Man, but similar limbs.
Alan Becker. Okay. Alan Becker is the creator of animator versus animation, and I only know that because he actually continued the series and currently is continuing to make animations on his YouTube channel, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, the start of it is very quaint in a very fun way, because obviously it's this is one of those things where we would encourage you to, like, go out and look it up yourself, watch it yourself. But part of the fun is that in the first one, the animator uses a variety of your typical, like, MS Paint tools as something interesting. So, like, sorry, I'm saying a whole lot of nothing. Pause this. Part of what makes it such an interesting series, or even just an interesting one-off from the first one, is that it takes all of these tools used in MS Paint and uses them in a very fun and interesting way. So the lasso tool, the animation uses that as a literal lasso to grab the mouse pointer at one point. Or I think, like, the pen gets fired as, like, the animation creates like a bow and arrow and then, you know, stretches it out and fires the actual pencil at the mouse pointer. It's someone looking at their screen and saying, what conceivably could I do with this? And the escalation of the series where, you know, in the second one, he starts to incorporate other windows in a very fun way. And in the fourth one, like, there's an entire section animator versus animation versus YouTube, not the fourth one, there's an entire section where just, like, all the animations are being beat up by just various videos of people waving their hands or things like that. It's really cute because it just sort of takes a small idea and then it goes one layer further and one layer further and one layer further throughout the entire series.
Yeah, it's almost like a childlike feeling of like looking at any object and being, can I turn this into a weapon? Can I point this this like, I don't know, block at somebody and say, this is my arm cannon, pew pew pew.
One of my favorite little ones is I think in the second or third one, the Windows Vista like start menu where it just, you know, you click in the bottom left corner and it slides up, that's used to like just batter the animation to the top of the screen. It's little things like that of it reminds me a lot of sitting in class looking down at my pencils or like erasers and just imagining a little fight or something going on.
Right. Speaking of desktop doodle fights, there is one game I want to mention that I don't know if you had played. It's a trilogy of Stickman related games called Hapland, and it is kind of weird. It's like an adventure game or like a point and click game where you have one screen that is like a side view of like a location, like a castle or a forest, and a bunch of stick men, and there's like a bunch of other objects you can click on. And it's a very trial and error sort of thing where like you click on an object and it makes a bomb appear. But if you click on another object, you can shoot the bomb before it explodes and then it doesn't hurt anybody. And a lot of it is like trying to figure out both what each object does and how they interact with each other so that you can complete one goal. But I think it uses stickmen because there's a lot of like these little, you know, people that are trying to interact with things. And they're very easy to animate, but also very easy to notice because they each have just like a circular head, which is bright white. And so it contrasts with the background very well. And so while like the games can be pretty busy because it's a pretty like zoomed out view of whatever location it is, having stickmen helps you keep track of where each person is to like the very precise degree you sometimes need.
Yeah,
to, like, time everything.
The ability to silhouette a stick man cannot be understated, where, you know, you can give a stick man a very specific personality just by giving them a color and kind of throwing up your hand, like deciding their personality. Or, you know, you can tell at a glance in a game like Stick War, I think it's called, how many, you know, how many troops you have versus your enemies, just because a stick man is very noticeable. A stick man is very easy to distinguish. You can immediately look at it and say, oh, I have 10 troops. I'm sending them against 5 troops. I'm probably going to win this.
Yeah. I don't have any other like notes for stickmen specifically, but I do have something related I want to talk about.
Yes. Before we get to that, because I believe that I know what you want to talk about, because I would also like to talk about it. I do want to mention a couple other series. Sift Heads is the exact opposite of the simplistic stickman style. Sift Heads was in the very popular genre of stickman sniper games, which there were just a lot of, too many to count. Smoking Kills. I think there was one that was just called like One Shot. Just way too many. But Sift Heads was interesting because it spawned a sequel and then another sequel and then another sequel and became its own like mini Flash game franchise, as often kind of happened when, you know, a Flash game sort of blossomed. The whole plot of it was centered around a hitman named Vinny and his girlfriend, who for some reason had like rockin' Barbie doll stickman proportions.
Oh no.
Like Vinny's Vinny's only distinguishing feature really was a red tie and like a very specific style of white shades on his head. And there was like another stick man eventually named like Kiro or something, whose only distinguishing feature was aviators and usually a katana, I think. It was a very interesting series as sort of like the, I would say like the style of Flash game that was never supposed to get popular and then inexplicably did. You know, it's not that, again, not to say that it's bad. I have fond memories of the series, but like you look at a game like Sift Heads and it's just, you know, it's just a stickman snipey game. You just point and shoot. And it has a funny little story about, you know, a mob boss who eventually screws over the main character and then you track him down and kill him. It's dumb little fun for 20 minutes. And then suddenly a whole bunch of people have played it. And the creator's like, oh, I'll make a second one. Oh, I'll make a third one. I'll make a fourth one. Hey, how about for the fifth one, instead of just this typical flair, what if it was like semi-open world? What if we made a Stickman Worlds? Or a Sift Head world, sorry. It's I think that's something that will not be lost, but the curation of it is something that I think not, this isn't even me like not finding the words to say. It's just trying to express my point without like implying something that I don't want to. So something like Five Nights at Freddy's is kind of a good example of that, but done with video games, where somebody made this fun little video game and then suddenly it's this massive franchise. But like Flash games allowed for that, but entirely self-contained within the genre of Flash games. There wasn't, I think the most that that Sift Heads got was like a browser MMO sort of thing. The Last Stand was a series of just, you know, guard against zombies, whatever, that eventually also got its own little browser-based Flash game. But nowadays, if something is that style, if something is that, you know, comes out of nowhere and is suddenly a worldwide phenomenon, an Undertale, of Five Nights at Freddy's, then suddenly it's everywhere. Suddenly it's, you've got merch in GameStop, you've got probable movie deals, you've got everyone everywhere noticing it. But Flash games was that localized still within just the Flash game community.
Right. It's a different scale of virality.
Yeah.
I mean, like, at the time, there weren't really, like, Let's Plays or stuff like that weren't as big if they existed. And so, like, I think part of that is that the people who played Flash games, they didn't often go on to non-Flash gaming sites to talk about Flash games.
Yeah.
You know, it's because they stayed to that ecosystem that it stayed within the ecosystem. And even then, Flash games weren't considered something that was, like, mainstream or anything, so it's no wonder that, like, GameStop wouldn't have merch for it. Flash games were ultimately still considered a niche, despite being so big.
I do think, before we move on as well, and this is a very small point, I do think one interesting side effect of it that is actually still very good and we still see is that a lot of the things that popped out of Flash game was creators, specific people with specific visions. So your Tom Fulps, your Ego Raptors, your Tom Skaz,
your JMTB. They,
yeah, your JMTBs, your Alan Beckers. Like, it's specific people who did these things, and the fact that they went on to create something and continue to be like focused on it and get the full credit for it is something that thankfully still lives on and I think is still important to consider, where, you know, again, Five Nights at Freddy's, that's Scott Coughlin. Like, it's in an age where massive video games have hundreds of developers, none of whom actually get credit for it, realistically, it's still nice that indie games and the Flash creators that went on to build themselves as like internet personalities are still a thing, because it still says that if you create something, you can get credit for it. It can still be yours and part of you can still be in it.
Right. There's still like an auteur space.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, we should go ahead and move on to the asterisk, I believe.
Yeah, so I didn't know if I wanted to include this at first, because it's not really Stickmen, until I realized it's its own sub-subgenre of Bubblemen.
Yes.
So yes. This is it's not stick proportions, it's you still have the circular head, but you have like an oval body, and then ovals are circles for like the feet and hands, sort of like Rayman. If you were to like do a minimalist version of Rayman, oftentimes they wouldn't have limbs as well.
Yeah.
You know, just like you mentioned Kill Crazy J, I want to mention Interactive Buddy.
Yes.
Which was another kill an NPC with a wide variety of tools. But in this case, it was just made of a bunch of circles. And you had like a bunch of different weapons. You could shoot it. There were different, like, skins and costumes. I think one of them was Tinky Winky.
Yeah, one of them was Tinky Winky. One of them was George Bush and John Kerry. One of them was Maddox, who's an internet creator that's still around, apparently.
Yeah, but so, Bubblemen are very similar to Stickmen, except without limbs. But they have more pronounced hands and feet. And I think more so than Interactive Buddy, which is still, like, a well-known Flash game among people that played Flash games. I think what's more well-known is Madness.
Yes.
This was like a mainstay of Newgrounds. You know, like oftentimes the Madness characters would appear in like the Newgrounds crossovers, where it would have like the popular Newgrounds stuff. Madness, it is another sort of just people fighting, but with more of like a raid sort of concept going on, where like a character would go into a building with a bunch of armed enemies and fight their way through.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people with masks, if I remember. There was a clown that appeared a lot. It was very much at the intersection of like people who made things in Flash, people who listened to metal, and people who watched a kung fu movie once.
Yeah, that's a very good way to describe it. It's also, Madness is so fun because it's just the hyper violence, hyper gore, but with continuity. That's kind of it. It's the hyper-violence and hyper-gore of that era of Flash games and that era of Flash animation, but it just continued to be that, and to build on top of that, it power-crept itself in a very fun way.
Right. Yeah, it had, like, an ongoing story, or at least characters that returned between videos or animations. It also had much more, like, staging than other Flash animations of that sort of variety. Like, they existed in a location with, you know, walls and stuff. It wasn't just a white background.
The whole series obviously takes place somewhere in Nevada.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, it has highly consistent characters. Death is pretty much never the end of any of the, I won't say named characters. I think they do have names, but they more have titles.
Yeah.
There's like the zombie clown. There's Jesus Christ. Yes, that Jesus Christ. The main character, one of my favorite little details is that pretty much any big wound is kind of consistent. So like the main character, you know, I think gets like a gut wound in the second one that kills him, quote unquote, but he just wraps it up with bandages in the third one. And then in the third one, he gets bisected or whatever, and, you know, just wraps that up with bandages. And by the end, which is to say by the time that, like, by the least, by the most recent one that I have watched, which is not the most recent one, he, like, literally his entire face is bandages. He has, like, a trench coat and, like, small red glasses. It's fun just because it's a fun little continuity that does not need to exist, but does, because the creator wanted it to.
Yeah. I think Madness, like, it's notable because it has a little bit of extra details, but also, like you said, it just kind of goes a step above what a lot of other animations did. But even then, I think it's just sort of another example of the zeitgeist of Flash at the time. Like,
yeah,
it was popular to just have people fighting, even if they were just bubbles on top of each other with some extra details. And I think that's sort of like, you know, a lot of Flash games are very violent for just because they could. A lot of Flash animations are violent because they could. But I think a lot of the ones we've talked about are ones where it's not just violence, it's violence with, like, a concept behind it, or, like, a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, animation versus animator isn't just violence, it's violence with, like, a meta element. Or Madness isn't just violence, it's violence but with, like, a continuity and some extra, like, choreography added.
Yeah, the violence is fun. Violence is inherently a sort of, like, fun experience to have in something like a video game or an animation. A Goopy Goblin
Brain experience. To quote Nakey Jakey.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that you can both turn your brain off for, but also sort of hyper-focus your brain on. And a lot of the violence of Flash games is very neutral, I would say, in the quality department. I think that, you know, if you get to something that sucks otherwise, just sucks otherwise. It isn't because of the violence. And that's sort of part of the fun of Flash games and the, like, create whatever you want sort of era with Flash games as well. Because There's no follow on from that because. I do want to briefly also mention another one of my favorite, like, ovals bobbing around series, which was Thing Thing.
I've never heard of it.
So Thing Thing was a little series of Flash games. There was a Thing Thing 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then there was a Thing Thing Arena 1 through 3. And unfortunately, I believe that's all the Thing Thing we ever got. Thing Thing 1 had a pseudo story. It was basically you were a lab experiment and then, you know, you broke out and now they're hunting you down. Ooh, justification to shoot some blobs. But the arenas were that minus any pretense of plot, and they were extremely fun. Yeah.
So I want to talk, just sort of at the end of this here, I want to talk about the legacy of these sorts of games and animations.
Yes.
There are three sort of specific games I want to bring up that all carry the torch in some way. The yes. First is one that you might have heard of because it's fairly popular, which is Henry Stickmin. It was one of the later Flash series to really start going, from what I understand, but it had, like, voice acting and all that pretty early on, as far as early on in the series.
Yeah,
it's you quote unquote play as a guy named Henry Stickmin. It's sort of like a choose your own adventure book where you have a choice between different paths, but what happens isn't really under your control. It'll just show a few choices and you can, like, you can go with the Shoryuken, you can go with the banana peel, you can go with the very obvious ladder going through the ceiling. I think they all involve breaking out of a prison in some way, at least the two or three that I've seen have. Yeah. But sort of the appeal of it was that, for one thing, there is continuity, there is a story. You know, everybody loves continuity, apparently. But also, it's just loaded with references. Like, the whole thing is just, every path you take is just a different reference to something, usually video games.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's enjoyable to go back and go through all the different paths just because they're all interesting or unique in some way. Even if it's just little jokes, it's like, why not? It's just more jokes. And they're also notable because the studio behind it, InnerSloth Studio, recently got popular for a little game you might have heard of called Among Us.
Amongst We.
Amongst a We. Betwixt us. In our midst. So yeah, Henry Stickmin, there's a collection of it on Steam as well that has all the games collected. I'm glad that Flash creators are doing this. You know, Edmund McMillan has the Basement Collection, which is all of his Flash games. I'm really glad that people are kind of taking it upon themselves to archive their own Flash work.
Yeah, I've seen no small amount of, like, Flash games on itch.io or on Steam. I think that Henry Stickmin had a kind of resurgence, maybe partially because of Among Us, but also mostly because I think they were one of the first to really get on that wagon of re-releasing your Flash games to preserve them.
Yeah. So then I have two more. One of them is Stick Fight the Game, which is a very, very inspired name, I know, but it's cool. It is inspired, obviously, by Stick Fight animations. Stick Fight the Game is a party game where players are in, like, a small arena. It's 2D side-scrolling, and weapons fall down, and the goal is to just kill the other players before they kill you, using either the weapons that spawn or, like, stage hazards, like spikes or conveyor belts or stuff like that. It is very much so inspired by, like, the chaos of stick animations that could sometimes happen. All the weapons are very unwieldy and sometimes have a chance to kill you as much as it can kill the other players, but that's just sort of the appeal of it. But it does also help that each stick figure is, like, one color, and so it's very easy to tell who's who and where they are. You know, the readability of Stickmin really come into play there in a good way.
Yeah.
Similarly, the last game I want to bring up is One Finger Death Punch, which is a beat-em-up where you only have two buttons, left and right. And the idea is that you're a stick figure in the middle of a huge brawl of, like, a bunch of other stick figures. And you press left to attack the figures on your left, you press right to attack the figures on your right. But it is more about putting the player into the shoes of, like, the flashy, unstoppable killing machines, where, as you're playing, you're only really pressing two buttons, but it feels like you're doing this huge, like, really chaotic choreography. It's sort of like if you were to watch people play Devil May Cry or Bayonetta or something like that, and see people do, like, these big combos that are really flashy to take out a lot of enemies. It's like that, but with two buttons. And, again, it uses the stick figures to help readability and help, like, help you do a lot of different moves just by making it easy to rig and animate. But also it is pretty much feeding into that nostalgia for old stick figure fight animations.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, One Finger Death Punch is also like $2 on Steam.
Yeah, it's very cheap, and honestly I really enjoy it. It's a fun sort of mindless, just kind of watch it happen game.
Yeah. I think that's pretty close to our closing thoughts then.
Yeah, that's about it. Shorter episode, but, you know, honestly, I'm kind of tired. You're tired for sure.
Yeah. Before we go, I do want to put on blast, make a call out post on my twitter.com. There's a little site called Funbrain. Now, they got mostly popular for Pop Tropica, which was a fun little flash game. Might talk about it at some point that isn't this. Probably not even this month, honestly. But either way, they had an arcade section that was like, you know, a new flash game every week or something like that. And I, as a very small youth, and we're talking like fourth grade here, played a lot of those. But one of the most influential ones for my imagination as a child was Mighty Guy. Mighty Guy was a little flash game where you just basically moved left and right to avoid obstacles. That's kind of all it was. One of Mighty Guy 1 was like you were driving or, you know, jumping from car to car or something while like rocks fell or something. And then Mighty Guy 2 was you like jet ski on the ocean, and then you have to run up a volcano while rocks fly at you. Fun little romp. Well, the quote-unquote next game was supposed to be, for the longest time, Mighty Guy 3. Mighty Guy 3 never came out. Mighty Guy 3 is, in fact, a complete non-existence on the internet now and on the internet then. And for reference, the like layout of the website was like this little board game that progressed every time they had a new thing. And I'm willing to bet that it's probably because Pop Tropica came out and was their success. But either way, they never put out Mighty Guy 3. And I have never forgiven them for that, because I'm not joking when I say that like Mighty Guy was actually very formative for me. I had a lot of doodles in my notebook throughout, you know, eighth grade. Like I created new characters like Mighty Girl and Mighty Cousin and Mighty Nephew or something like that.
Mighty
like,
Cousin.
Mighty Cousin. And like it was a flash game that I was expecting that never came out. And damn it, if I am not going to march to Funbrain's headquarters right now and demand that they make it. I don't care if Flash is dead.
Ain't Mighty Guy the guy from Naruto?
Thank you very much for listening. I've been Galen.
I'm Matt. You can follow me, or you can follow us. Let me bring that up first. You can follow us on social media at NetSurferPro on Facebook and Twitter, where you can get hints about all our upcoming episodes. But as of recording this, I haven't figured out what hint I would want to give because, like, Stickman, like, I don't know. And then a man symbol?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe put, like, a bunch of weapons.
Maybe. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter at Matt Craig Gaming. I tweet about games and other things like that. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack. That's TWAK. I stream on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Stream time exactly is kind of up for, you know, it's uncertain right now, but if you follow me, you can get updates on when I go live. I play a lot of different video games. Especially recently, I've been playing Hitman in preparation for Hitman 3. And then also, you can follow me on YouTube at youtube.com/IEatAtSonic. That's IEATATSONIC. Old username. And I do video analyses there, including an upcoming video on Paradise Killer to come out soon, TM.
You can follow me at twitter.com/GalenWilson. Wilson is spelled with a zero. I have mostly hot takes and retweet some cool people and some cool art. You will be able to follow me on YouTube at some point, but right this second, I don't have any content on that channel, so I'm not plugging it just yet. So just subscribe to Matt again, and I'll get back to you on when you can finally subscribe to me and unsubscribe from Matt.
Also, if you like board games, you can check out my other podcast, Board Game Bros, where me and my bro talk about board games and game design.
Indeed, I had one guest episode on there.
From like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But yeah, with those plugs out of the way, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Tell all your friends about it. Tell all your stick friends about it too. Maybe they won't attack us in a very choreographed fashion.
But don't tell your oval friends about it. They don't care about choreography. They will just kill us.
Yes. All right. See ya.
See ya.